This is a HeadGum Original.
Oh yeah! Welcome to Buckets. What a long, long year. Filled with too many ups and downs, really, but we finally made it. You know, they said we'd lose to the Clippers. They said we'd probably lose to the Bucks, but that didn't happen. We didn't even play them. We took down the hottest bubble team in five, the MVPs in five, the upstart Denver Nuggets, also in five, the team of destiny in the Miami Heat also went down in six. They said Rondo was washed. They said Keep was the worst Morris twin. They laughed when we signed Boogie. They laughed when we lost Boogie. They laughed when we replaced Boogie with Dwight. But here we are, 17-time world champion. That includes 11 since the 1980 season. That's five with Magic, five with Kobe, and now one with LeBron motherfucking James. William, what do you have to say?
Oh, that dropped in so perfect. That I Love LA dropped in so sweet. Amir, you have such a smile on your face. That was just a real treat.
I haven't slept. I didn't go to sleep last night. I was at LAX waiting for the team. Turns out they flew home this morning, so it was sort of a fool's errand. Me and a few buddies of mine sort of spent the entire night circling LA airport, then Burbank just in case. Van Nuys didn't show up, finally came home, called it a night, and I guess they're landing right about now.
Okay, back to LAX we go. Yeah. Good talking to you, everybody. This has been Buckets.
How was it? How was the game for you? How was the series for you? How was the playoffs?
Well, let's talk about the game, because the game just ended yesterday, and that is the deciding game where the Lakers won the 17th championship. Like you said, it was so fun for about 4 minutes, and then the Lakers just said, no, not today. Yeah. Not today. And what did it end at half? Was it 26-36?
I believe it was 64-36 at half.
That is so humbling. So 28-point difference going into it when you only scored 36.
Yeah. At that point, it felt inevitable. It felt good. I wasn't ready to celebrate yet because I'm like, there's a world where we have the worst letdown in championship history. But fortunately, that didn't happen.
Yeah. Coming off of Game 5, which was one of the most hold-your-breath NBA Finals games I've ever seen before, where every play counted and everyone was scoring and it was just like onslaught of great basketball. This felt like the spiritual inverse, where it was like, we gave you that one good game. Now what should happen will happen. And Anthony Davis on defense was so insane. And not just when he was in the play, but to watch Tyler Hero, to watch Jimmy Butler, to watch these guys attack the rim and have wide open layups, but fear the concept of AD, just the idea of him. They would kick it out to Jay Crowder for 30-foot threes instead of taking wide open layups. So kudos right out the gate to Anthony Davis for just stopping them from being confident in Game 6.
Yeah, he was everywhere. He was like stopping the penetration and then getting back to block an alley-oop, like from the same play. He was at like 18 feet from the rim and then blocking an alley-oop like at the rim.
I thought that one of the Heat's greatest strengths was pump faking the three, because you have to respect their shooters, and then they just drive hard to the glass. And they could do that pretty successfully, but when they got to the glass, they would kick it out for a three every single time as opposed to attacking. So
yeah, it's like ingrained in their brain that they have to kick it out even if they're wide open. And then their floaters were not falling at all, like airballing short, banking off the backboard too hard long.
They looked like they had dead legs. Game 5 was the game. And then Game 6, they were just like, we're cooked. Like, there's nothing left. Like, when Jimmy Butler is gassed, the rest of your players are gassed. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was the thing. Everyone was like, oh, Miami's too tired. This isn't a fair fight. It's like, the Lakers also played a very tough game on Game 5. Like, just because they lost doesn't mean, like, they are not prone to the same level of fatigue. But, like, LeBron James, you know, is superhuman, so it doesn't count for him.
Right. And not to mention that AD is, quote-unquote, hurt in this game. He's coming off of 40 hours ago. He broke his heel. He didn't break his heel, but he hurt his heel bad enough, you know?
Yeah, bruised heel. Didn't seem to bother him at all. And then Dragic out of nowhere.
Yeah, when I saw that, that kind of felt like a white flag to me. Dragic immediately comes into the game, throws up a really cool alley-oop, like right off the curl to Bam, and you're like, uh-oh, like, is this actually going to be it? And then his next, like, five possessions were just like, no, he's got a bum foot.
Yeah, it's just like almost like we're like celebrating Goran by letting him play in a finals, even though he's not helping.
Like, that's what it kind of felt like.
Was he any better than Kendrick Nunn? I don't think so.
Kendrick Nunn had game five, but man, game six, the entire Heat team was just like, we're too tired to keep doing this. We can't keep doing this. And the Lakers just took them out in the first 16 minutes. Spiritually, they were like, it's over. There's no, you can't do this. So from a Lakers fan perspective, are you happy with how the game played out? Do you wish it was maybe a little tighter just for the sense of drama? Or are you like, give me the title?
No, I was like, give me the title, definitely. Right. Especially because this is game six. I'm like, holy shit, if we lose this game, we're going to be playing game seven. I'm like, I'm already so anxious from Friday into Sunday. I'm like, I don't know if I can handle an extra level of anxiety. So I'm like, I hope we come out with a sense of urgency. Like, it's the fourth quarter and we're down 11, mm-hmm. even though we're up like 10. And that's exactly what they did. They're like everywhere, hustling, running, mm-hmm. like destroying, hitting threes. Rajon Rondo comes in and just fucking takes over. Holy shit.
I know. I think in game five, it felt like every single Heat player was operating on their highest level. Like they were just completely. And when that happens, they won by four, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And you need to basically replicate that for three more games, which can't really happen. Whereas the Lakers kind of operated on their, like, not baseline, but mid level, where the effort didn't seem there. The offensive boards didn't seem there. The defense didn't seem there in game five. And then in game six, they were like, no, we could just do this. And
yeah, it's
they
the,
did that.
The whole turning it on thing that they said like the Clippers were doing all year, even though like the Clippers never had the championship pedigree to like fall back on. Mm-hmm. They were acting like, it's okay, we'll turn it on when it's important. We'll turn it on when it's important.
Mm-hmm.
The Lakers were actually able to do that.
Mm-hmm. So halfway through the game, you're thinking, we won, this is amazing. Or is there any spot of like anxiety in you where it's like, I don't know, they go on a run in the third quarter?
Yeah, at halftime, we were up 28. I'm like, holy shit. If we just win the third quarter, it's over. They're not coming back from like down 30 with like 12 minutes left. And then I think we won the third quarter by one. We were up 29.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, all right, great. Now if we just win the next 4 minutes, then it's really, really over.
It was fun
and
to clock.
And I think they made a run to get it down to 21. That was
and then eventually 13. I mean, it ended
at
13.
That was a weird.
Not right.
Yeah. It was not a 13-point game.
It was fun to clock each Lakers face with when they were going to allow themselves to acknowledge that we're probably going to win now. Like every minute in the fourth quarter, like as they tick down, you saw like a slightly bigger smirk arrive on Anthony Davis's face. Just everyone's feeling a little better. And then when you see Dudley and Quinn Cook and the gang come in, you're like, put the ring on my finger right now.
I thought that was a great moment when AD like started just like walking away from the bench, sort of overwhelmed with emotion, like to like walk towards this giant Larry O'Brien trophy. And then LeBron joined him and like hugged him and brought him back to the bench. That was very cool to see as a Laker fan.
It did feel like the, and of course they've been teammates for the whole season, but it did feel like the like first time where it was like, and now they are the official twosome. It feels like it is now bronzed in history. Like the hugs that they were sharing, the kind of like just like brotherhood of just like emotion that they were sharing between the two of them. It was like for the first time, I, random basketball fan, like see them as like a Stockton and Malone, like a proper twosome, you know?
Yeah. And wow, what an amazing twosome. I remember the debate before the season was like, who's got the best duo? And some people were like, Paul George and Kawhi, the two best wings, and they can play defense.
Right.
Like, James Harden and Russ, like, you know, like who's stopping two MVPs on the same backcourt?
Yeah.
And now it doesn't even seem like who's the closest to LeBron and AD. They could be like number one and two in the NBA.
And the fun question now becomes, now that AD has done it once, is it his league now? Is it expected that he rips off like six, maybe two more with LeBron, but like he now knows how to win. He knows how dominant he is. And it's like, it's just on now. Is it his league?
I think it's his league as long as he's playing with a LeBron. I don't know if AD without that extra help can get it done.
Mm. Like an AD with, let's just say Kyrie, or like an elite level point guard, like who scores 25. Is that getting, can AD now, do we now put AD in that class where it's like, nope, it's his league. He should win this game.
That's a great question. I don't know. Like LeBron was his point guard, but like he also was like an amazing defender. So you need someone who's, like maybe AD and Luka could be a twosome that could win an NBA title.
Yes.
You need like a tall ball handling point guard with him. But yeah, I mean, he was incredible.
So it is the Lakers' 17th championship. This is something that you've been pining for about a decade. You've been out of the playoffs for about 7 years. A lot of pent up like Laker fandom that just probably wants to get out. I know that you've been circling LAX for the past 18 hours or so, hoping to see the team jet land. That being said, does this day match what you thought the emotions would feel like? because we are still in a pandemic and we still can't leave our homes and a parade seems unlikely. So what is the fans' perspective from this one?
Parade is definitely not happening. It is kind of a bummer. Like, this is not happening in June, and then we can have this parade. We can see the videos. I want to see, like, videos of Miggy and J.R. Smith partying in Vegas, which might still happen. They might be still, like, going to Miami where clubbing is legal now and figuring we don't give a shit, or maybe we already had coronavirus, Trump-level immunity. But, yeah, it's kind of sad we won't be getting the championship parade, but, you know.
But you,
we'll take the rain with the sun.
Were you up all night checking Twitter, looking for every sort of like compilation video from the season? Like, or is it like, you know what? I'm an adult. Like, we won.
I was up till like 2 watching like champagne footage. Yes. Because the TV cameras were not in that locker room. Like, the only peek in we got was Lakers Instagram lives. So like when Dwight went live or J.R. Smith went live. That was the view we got.
But that's right.
There's so many iconic TV moments from like the champagne that I was surprised, maybe it was a COVID thing, that the TV cameras were not allowed in there.
Yeah, I was surprised that they even got to spray champagne. Like something about like just spraying liquids on one another felt like anti-safe. I have no idea at this point. Like I walked away from a squirrel like 15 feet today because I was like COVID. So I've lost all sense of what the rules are of this game. But seeing them spray champagne on one another, I was like, okay, that's a step towards normalcy. I've seen that before.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, the bubble was, I guess, hermetically sealed by then. At that point, it didn't really matter. So like they figured, listen, if I get coronavirus, it's all good fun in the name of a champagne shower.
That's right. There's no tomorrow. So live for today.
That's right. Give me the goggles. Give me the confetti.
Right.
Let's take some pictures.
Yeah.
Let's walk around shirtless and enjoy this championship.
Fun fact, do you know who provided the champagne to the locker rooms?
I saw that. Isaiah Thomas, the elder one.
Yes.
Interesting.
Sure. I wouldn't peg Isaiah Thomas for a man in the champagne game, but he got the NBA contract, so kudos to him.
And kudos to the Miami Heat, who put up, I think they gave America what they wanted. They didn't want, we were talking about sweep potentially when they were down 2-0 without Bam or Dragic. And then when they won one game, it's like, all right, at least it'll be 5. And then they won another game. We're like, oh, this might be a thing. I think they gave a lot of people a lot of hope, extended the season a little bit. And I think they did their job.
I don't think any player had a better rebrand in the NBA bubble than Jimmy Butler. He is now seen to me as like just a universal fan favorite. Like people just like will know him moving forward. They will root for him moving forward. I think the casual fan probably is a bigger admirer of Jimmy Butler post these playoffs.
Yeah, he's the man, and like he's so cool about it too. His demeanor is just like, man, that guy's awesome. I couldn't even dislike him.
So he had the reputation going to the bubble as being like a bully, as being someone who kind of like pushes his teammates to the edge, maybe isn't well liked around the league. I'll tell you what, during the finals, he was giggling. Downright giggling on that court throughout. Like LeBron and AD had like that gas face, that angry face. And then you just see Butler walk across the frame like giggling about something. I was like, we had this dude all wrong.
Yeah, I think it's because his expectations were to probably lose in the first or second round. Mm. And so like when you're in the finals,
house
it's like, look at me. Yeah, I'm going toe-to-toe with LeBron James. Like, this is fun. And LeBron's like, I can't believe I have to try so hard to beat this motherfucker.
Did you see the clip? I think it might have been from the dude Omar who started House of Highlights back in the day. But now he works.
The answer is yes, but let's see. Yeah, let's see what clip you're talking about. But I saw every clip. But
okay, got it.
There's no clip that I missed.
So you saw the clip of when AD and LeBron James are walking back through the tunnel immediately after the floor. Do you remember the conversation that, or the piece of advice or the interesting fact that LeBron James shared with Anthony Davis?
Is this the one where he's like, this is the one game you don't get to ice yourself afterwards. So my body's on fire right now.
You simply do not have to. And then he walks out of the tunnel. He goes, the only thing I might put ice on is tequila.
Is that what he said? It just shows you like how insane, like, LeBron said his body was on fire because it wasn't in ice right after the game.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
What is going on inside there that he like needs to like dip himself into a hermetically sealed ice bucket or else his body, his joints literally ignite in flames.
And he's just a basketball player. Imagine being a football player. Like, what on earth?
Well, what football player other than Frank Gore is still doing in year 17.9 right now?
He has just been one burning flame for the past 20 years, Frank Gore.
I don't want LeBron to play the regular season next year. Like, I don't know when it starts, but like, LeBron, do not fucking waste your, like, we know it. We got the team. This year was very important. We got the chemistry. We got the one seed. Mm-hmm. But now, if the season starts in March, you don't have to play against Charlotte. Mm-hmm. You don't have to warm up. Mm-hmm. We know who you are. We mm-hmm. know who we are. Mm-hmm. Let's get better while LeBron sits. We'll develop a chemistry with AD and the rest of the team. Mm-hmm. LeBron, you can play every other game. Mm-hmm. And then in the playoffs, you'll fully healthy, and that gives us the best chance of winning a championship.
So I believe that that is what they did with Kawhi Leonard for the past
two coward.
Years. Oh, yeah.
That guy's a coward.
So you
what
want...
is he doing? Resting? Yep. Load management?
That's right.
That's your GOAT?
That's right.
He's not even playing every game.
That's right. So, and before Kawhi, Shaquille O'Neal famously would take off like 45 games, just chill. He knows he'll play the 18 or 16 that you need him, but it's
Do
not
Do you remember
a...
that moment, that season where Shaq spent the entire summer partying and then got his surgery in November?
That
he's like,
was...
what? I got injured during company time. I might as well heal during company time.
Wasn't that also to low-key punish Kobe? Wasn't there something about, like, punishing
I don't know if
Lakers?
It was to punish... it wasn't... I think it was that idea of, like, I'm not sacrificing my summer. If I got hurt playing on the job, I'll heal on the job.
Yes.
And I'll play the 4 months required to win a championship.
Right.
It wasn't meant to punish Kobe. I bet Kobe hated that.
Power move.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, kudos to the NBA. Kudos to the NBA for getting it done. But really, I mean, you as a Laker fan, saddest year of your life or saddest moment of your Laker fandom life when Kobe passes away. So, I mean, to button it all up this year is just really, it's pretty powerful. It's pretty awesome.
It's very poetic because, like, Kobe was all about what makes the greatest story? What writes the greatest legacy? Mm-hmm. Like, how would you script the greatest year mm-hmm. in... or at least not the greatest year, but the most epic year in Laker history. And mm-hmm. it's like exactly what happened. We had three games postponed for three different reasons that mm-hmm. have never happened before. Like mm-hmm. one for this virus, one for Kobe's death. The mm-hmm. other is like a protest or boycott.
Right.
In the bubble. Overcome all of that. And win a championship after being a laughingstock from like 2012 to 2018. They were them and the Knicks were on the same level. I think the Lakers even had a worse record.
Yeah, this is the first year they have Anthony Davis, and they already did this. They did that year one.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Is there any player, I have to imagine Kobe would be the most deadly player in the bubble. Like, to just say, just play basketball for 90 days, nothing else, good luck beating that man in that
scenario. Right, exactly.
So it's pretty
poetic. It was kind of like, it would be like Jimmy Butler, but with the talent and ability of Kobe Bryant, just like laser-focused
mm-hmm.
accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
so it's over. The season is over.
Yeah. I don't know. What do we even do now?
That's what I'm saying, dude. We're on the West Coast, so we both from like 4:30 to 9 most nights had something to look forward to. We have a large chunk of time back in our week. Not a good thing.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, there's only so much football you can watch because it's only on Thursdays, Sundays, Saturdays if you watch college.
Right.
I guess
now,
there's the
kind
baseball
of like,
playoffs.
I guess with
Am
COVID
I supposed to
now,
be rooting for the Dodgers
on,
now?
There's Monday games and Tuesday games in the NFL now because of COVID, and some games are getting shifted to Thursday, and you might have three on Wednesday, and now Friday games are a thing. So
yeah, I guess as people get sicker, they'll start playing football on weirder days. It's true. I can start watching the baseball playoffs, I guess. Maybe I'll become a Dodgers fan again.
You can just hear in your voice how non-exciting that option is.
Who are they playing? Who are they playing in the NLCS or whatever the fuck?
Real tears dripping down your cheeks and landing on your Lakers towel around your shoulders.
I will say I'm in no rush to start the next season. I'm like, let's just enjoy the ride. Like we have a sweet taste in our mouth. So we're like, I don't need to get back into it in November. I'm
so
like, yeah, free agency could start in December.
The perfect line in the sand between a Lakers fan and a fan of the NBA right there. All I want is for this next season to start. It always seemed insane that Adam Silver was like, yeah, by November, we're going to have the next season going. That never felt realistic. Even Christmas. Now they're saying January. And Just give us more basketball, please, for the love of God. I mean, the Golden State Warriors, the Knicks, the Bulls, these teams won't play for a calendar year almost.
That's right. Yeah, it'll be from like March to February of not playing competitive basketball.
But imagine having a 2-year deal with the Knicks or something, and then this whole year just disappears. You just made like a cool $18 million to do nada.
Yeah, well, the Kawhi Paul George contracts are like 2 years plus one option. So it's like, okay, half of their contract is now gone.
Yeah.
And then the next year will be perhaps the final year of their contract. Who knows? I have no idea.
You were just smiling through that hypothetical. You're saying, I have no idea.
Yeah, and I guess if Kawhi wants to stay in LA but doesn't necessarily like the Clippers.
Right.
Like, I mean, there's really only one option for him, right? Like, if you think about it in terms of what teams from LA he could join.
So if you cross off the Clippers from the list of two, who's like, left? Yeah. He would have to take the veteran minimum.
Well, I think we have a mid-level exception starting next year, so he can maybe get by with $10 million because he probably lives in San Diego and the dollar goes a little further there.
Let me ask you
this. Plus the endorsement money.
Let me ask you this. If you don't get Kawhi in the next 2 years, which players from the current roster are back next year?
I read this recently. We signed a bunch of them to 2-year deals. So like Danny Green is still on the books next year for $15
million. Wow.
I think Rondo has a player option at the minimum. Caruso is like $3 or $4 million. KCP maybe. And so you're bringing back on his rookie team, yeah.
You're bringing back a decent number. So this might be the team that you're looking at again, correct?
This team, and then, plus Avery Bradley, who we're getting back, which is another thing we had to overcome. People kind of forget. We lost our starting shooting guard before the bubble.
Fact.
I think we have to replace our centers potentially. Like Dwight and or JaVale might not be coming back.
I think that what you guys do have in your favor is that a lot of mid-level guys are going to now see the Lakers as a destination. Like, it felt like 2 years ago, players didn't want to play with LeBron for whatever reason, just marketing, but players were just hesitant. And now I think that like a lot of $4, $5, $6, $7 million players are going to be like, of course I'll ride out my last 2 years here. No doubt.
Right. First of all, LA is always a destination, but the Lakers weren't necessarily. But now it's like Lakers plus championship plus LeBron, plus we have some money to give. So it's like people are willing to take a slight pay cut.
Yeah.
I wonder who those players will be.
Yeah, I guess that's the question. I mean, do you need more shooters? Do you need the proper center? It seems like AD sliding into the five when needed is all you really need.
Yeah, I read Kevin O'Connor wrote about this like next morning today. It was already like, this is what the Lakers, this is who they should target. And it's a shooting five. Like JaVale and Dwight, we patched together a pretty solid playoff with them. But there were some teams we couldn't play them at all, like against Houston, and then game six Caruso started and Davis just slid to the five, and so he was shouting, or he was recommending names like Serge Ibaka, Marcus Gasol, Aaron Baines, like big guys who can play down low but can also shoot a three, would be immensely helpful for the Lakers.
Yeah, those first two names you mentioned, Ibaka and Marcus Gasol, immediately came to mind. It's like, damn, that would be a problem. But
it's like all that shooting plus also Aaron Baines instead of Dwight Howard.
Yeah, huge. But let's not forget that Golden State is out there and they might be the antidote, those two shooters, because it feels like neither one of them match up with LeBron or AD on defense or offense. So it really, it's like the Lakers have a potential legacy or, you know, just like a dynasty. But there's that one team that just had that one quiet disappearing year out there. And it's like, Golden State is going to be another problem for every team again.
And who's better than their three of Steph, Klay, and Draymond? Like their third best player is Draymond. He might be the best third best player in the NBA. And I think I saw that their odds of winning a championship right now are 14-1, something like
Golden
really
State
high. Yeah.
Damn. Miami's 15-1.
Right.
Yeah.
People think Miami has a better chance than Golden State. I guess they forget, or they think Wiggins can't be part of a championship team.
Right. And they're probably right about that.
Yeah. But they can ship. They have like the number two pick. They can ship Wiggins and the number two for something.
Yeah. We are in serious trouble with that number two pick on Golden State. Like, that's just like such a forgotten storyline, but they're about to get a star on a 74 win team. This is just a mess.
I guess nobody cares for this draft anyway, so people don't really think about that draft pick.
Yeah. The last draft was 16 months ago or so. So it's like, who knows what, remember the draft.
Who was, Who was the last number one pick? I can't even remember.
So we also said that we wanted to talk about on this podcast some of our favorite moments from the bubble. And who was the number one pick is actually one of the things that I was reminiscing about.
Oh.
That Zion Williamson, number one pick in the draft last year.
Did he have
the weirdest rookie season of any star rookie player ever?
Yeah. First of all, he was injured, so he didn't play. And then he came in and made like 5 threes in his first game.
Right.
Then never hit any threes after that. Went all the way to the bubble, and then his season was derailed by coronavirus. Then went to the bubble, and then lost at the bubble. Did he play in the bubble? He did play in the bubble, didn't he?
Exactly, on, weird minutes restrictions until, the game that didn't matter. They were like, you can just play all out here. He also had to be reminded how to walk. He was like, his rookie season had a pandemic that had, 3 months cut it short. It was just what a weird, Nike probably wanted so much out of this season for this man. And it was shattered. Shattered. Yeah.
Fortunately, he's still 20 years old, so hopefully he'll have 20 more years in the NBA. But him and Ja Morant had an insane bubble as well. Took his team to that play-in game. That was fun.
It is funny to think about all of those players and teams just a month ago, 45 days ago, that were in this bubble, thought they had a shot, thought anything mattered. None of it mattered. All completely inconsequential. There was one team that was supposed to win, and they did.
Yeah, Phoenix, the Suns were 8-0.
Right.
Haven't thought about them since.
Yeah. I have a list of 12 things that I remember that I would have forgotten about the bubble. And Suns going 8-0 and missing the playoffs is number 2 on my list of that happened. That happened.
Play-in game? Was play-in game on there?
The play-in game.
Portland.
Oh, yeah. No. I do have Dame's 61-point game, the game before the play-in game, I believe.
I don't remember that. Him and Paul George beef is pretty fun.
Yeah, the beef was fun. Dame scored 61 versus Dallas on 18 of 18 from the line. There was a time where Dame was just in fuego for those last
bubble,
4 games. Yeah, bubble
MVP. Bubble MVP. I don't know if we'll ever see another.
Is that because he got his team in that he's the bubble MVP? Because TJ Warren, let us not forget, TJ Warren dropped 53, 34, 32, 16, and then 39. He averaged 35 over 5 games in 35 minutes.
Good on TJ. All right, TJ Warren for the Indiana Pacers, who have since imploded as two of their star players said they want out and they fired their coach.
That's right. They said they would take D'Antoni. They won't.
I feel bad for TJ.
Yeah.
Did we ever put respect on Dame's name? I know he was imploring us to put some fucking respect on his name.
I gotta confess. I don't know if I put any respect on Dame's name yet.
Yeah, I'm worried because he's 30 going on 31 and, if we haven't put respect on his name yet, I don't know what's going
to
happen.
No, we should put respect on his name in the next couple of weeks. Let's put that down in the calendar to remind ourselves to put some respect on Dame's name.
Okay. Yeah. I'll put some respect. Maybe in November, right before Thanksgiving.
Do you want to feel old? We did an episode called TJ Warren All-Stars, I don't know, 70 months ago, you and I?
That was in the bubble. That was July, August or something.
Yeah.
Remember, the Lakers did not play. I think we were 3-5 in those 8 play-in games.
And that's kind of what you want Vogel to do with LeBron next year, where it's just play 16 minutes, lose 50% of the games. It's fine. Just get into the playoffs.
Exactly. I don't know why. He busted his ass this year. Holy shit. At one point, we won 21 straight Western Conference road games.
Right.
He was playing hard every night.
Right.
Damn. Good on him.
Do you remember how the Mavericks played and specifically Luka played this bubble?
That was incredible. Yeah. That buzzer beater.
Against the Clippers.
Yeah.
The Clippers got burned by 2 amazing buzzer beaters in this bubble. The Devin Booker buzzer beater and the Luka buzzer beater were just all-time buzzer beaters.
And that was even before their ultimate meltdown. They had a tough bubble.
What's up with the Clippers? What do you think is up with the Clippers? It seems like something is wrong. The fact that Doc was like, I'm out. And then he immediately signed with another team saying, I still like coaching. I just don't want to coach there.
I think they had no continuity. The players didn't necessarily know how to play together. They had a Kawhi team and a Paul George team and a Lou Will Montrez team, but they never cohesively meshed. They never really practiced together, and because of injuries, they never played that much together.
Mm-hmm.
And they definitely did not play with joy. I don't know if Marcus Morris and Trez and Lou Will were having fun on the bench. I don't remember seeing any of that.
Yeah.
So I think it was a combination, and then that and Paul George just, I guess, being depressed in the bubble, not playing very well in those closeout games at all.
Yeah. The playoff P moniker.
Yeah, layoff P.
No, God. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was listening to the radio today, and Playoff P said something along the lines of, I regret coming up with that nickname, so I prefer if people don't call me Playoff P anymore. And Carmelo Anthony responded, no take backs.
This is on Twitter or social media?
I have no idea. I heard two radio guys talking about it today, and I was like, true or false? I need this to be so real right now. No take backs.
I regret. Please don't call me that anymore. Yeah, that's right. Not how the internet works.
And that's not how nicknames work.
You don't get to give yourself one and want it to go away.
Charles Barkley responded when he said Playoff P, he said, you might as well call me Championship Chuck. What an insult. I mean, what an insult. 90 days in the bubble.
I don't know if the Clippers get better next year. They don't have a coach. Mm. Lou Will is a little older, and he was looking a little bit washed. And then Trez is a free agent. So if they lose Trez, Lou Will comes back or not. And then I think they're like maxed out cash-wise.
Yeah. I don't know what the appropriate coach does. Like, I don't know what kind of coach they need, I should say. You know, it's like they don't seem like they need to play with tempo because their guys seem like half-court guys. They already have the defensive players to, like, intuitively be defensive. I don't know. Maybe Kawhi and PG are just too similar.
Yeah, or PG can't be the second best player on a championship team. Like, he has to, it needs to be more of the Toronto model, which is like Kawhi and like seven other pretty solid players rather than like Kawhi, PG, and then we'll figure it out with Marcus Morris, Reggie Jackson, and Lou Williams.
Yeah, it's true. When you think about when he was on the Raptors, he had two elite scorers with Fred VanVleet and Kyle Lowry. Just doing all that. And plus you have the Ibaka and Gasol and Danny Green. Right. So he was flush with talent. Whereas this team, they were good, but you know, there was just a little too much Reggie Jackson at times or, you know, Zubac at times.
Yeah. And they didn't fit well together. Like if Kawhi, you have Kawhi on offense and then you also have Paul George, you don't need Lou Will out there. Mm. Like Lou Will is just to provide, they should play him in the Raisins Rondo role of like, all right, LeBron is resting. Now, Rondo, you just do whatever you want.
That's right.
And when he goes 8-for-11 for like 20 points in game six, great. Found money, bonus cash. Love it. Raisins Bron, nickname for Rajon and LeBron.
Shout out Raisins, best nickname that came from the nicknames episode. someone's going to overpay for Montrezl Harrell, right?
Oh, yeah. He's getting, I don't even know if it's overpaid. He's a sixth man of the year. He was like averaging 18 and 10. What's overpay?
I guess when the last thing you see is just him just seeming overmatched, and it was probably because other guys were way more warm and had played way more games than him, and it seemed like he had a pretty rough offseason personally, but I don't know, that 6'9 center that can bash, I don't know. It just seems like he's going to get maxed out by somebody, and it will be the Knicks, and I will be kind of just like digesting that news for a while.
Yeah, he's not quite like Bam Adebayo, who's like the amazing version of that, where it's like, oh, this guy can get me 25 and 10 if necessary, can shoot floaters, can occasionally like hit elbow jumpers, can rebound with the best of them. Trez is a great pick and roll kind of guy and a good energy guy, but...
Yeah, and he comes off the bench, he's going to be stronger than your backup center. So that's kind of the one thing that there, but a team's going to max him out and put him in the starting lineup, and then it's going to be like, oh no, he's going up against, you know, Embiid this game.
Yeah, or even Jokic was abusing him. Like, yeah, he was bully-balling him. It was pretty great to see.
Which is weird, because then Dwight absolutely bully-balled Jokic.
Yeah, how does that work? If Dwight can't bully-ball Trez, but Jokic can bully-ball Trez, and if Dwight can then bully-ball the bully, you would think Dwight can bully-ball by the transitive property of backup centers.
Yes.
They should be able to bully them, but I don't know. That's why I give credit to Coach Vogel. Like against the Rockets, Dwight did not play a minute. And then against the Nuggets, it's like, Dwight, you're starting. And then against the fucking Miami Heat in the championship game six, it's like, Dwight, we don't need you anymore. Like the ability to pick and choose lineups, the ability to play small, play big, play fast, play strong, play offense, play defense. And the Lakers were in it the whole way, and Frank Vogel made the adjustments. And
also proud of my guys. A lot of kudos to the players for being ready to start. Like Caruso didn't have a world class game six, but that dude brought the energy that was missing in game five.
Yeah, he, remember his missed floater, and then he got his own rebound amongst Sam and Jimmy Lefty. Yeah, and then on a missed free throw by AD, he got in there and like got the ball away.
Yep,
man.
Yep,
he played great too.
Your champion.
And he's only making like $3 million a year. Like, nobody wanted these guys. Nobody wanted Rondo. Nobody wanted Dwight. Nobody got Caruso.
Yeah.
And these guys are, like, playing meaningful minutes for a championship team.
Yeah, shout out to, what's your GM's name again?
Rob Pelinka.
Pelinka. Shout out to him because he put himself in a tricky spot where he maxed out two massive players and only gave himself, what, like mid-level exceptions and maybe like a $5 million contract here and there.
And yeah, and he also had to wait for Kawhi. So like as people were getting plucked, like we wanted some of these players like Seth Curry. And we're like, all right, sorry, he's gone now. So it's like, that's okay. Let's wait. Let's hold. Let's hold. We'll get Danny Green and Rajon Rondo and Avery Bradley and hope that's enough.
The Lakers have so often been flushed with cash that they could just attract the biggest names, but he had the challenge of having to be a very smart and selective shopper. He couldn't waste a dollar on anybody. He needed every dollar to like translate to points. And
yeah.
He picked the right guys for $3 million.
Yeah, and I remember when we picked up like Avery Bradley and KCP again and Rondo, everyone's like, what are you doing? Like, we just found out like LeBron needs to be surrounded by shooters. Like we see KCP miss threes. We know Rajon Rondo's not a good defender or shooter. We know Avery Bradley's washed. For whatever reason, it worked.
Well, I mean, Raisins Rondo, when you watch him, there's like 4 minutes left. Raisins is barking at his teammates still about what they should be doing.
Yeah.
They're up 18. They're about to get big old rings for winning the big old championship. And
that's
Raisins
right.
does not care. You missed a pick. Like, he's furious. And, yo, they got that for cheap. They got that intensity for cheap.
It's because nobody, like, LeBron actively sought him out. And as he was, like, playing poorly these last 2 years, all, like, the nerdy analytical basketball Twitter guys were like, don't play Rondo. He's not good defensively. He can't shoot the three.
Right.
Why is he in the game? What is he doing? He'd go like 0 for 4 in a game, just dribble around, use too much of the shot clock. And Rondo or LeBron and AD and Frank Vogel were like, to their credit, were like, no, we love this guy. He gives us the swag. He gives us high basketball IQ. We need him. Mm-hmm. And they were right, and we were all wrong.
Oh, there are those players where it's like, I'd rather play with him than play against him. And he is one of those dudes where it's like, when you're playing against him, you're like, this is annoying. It's annoying to play against this guy who's one step ahead of every single play on defense.
Yeah, why was he getting layups easily, like in game six? He was just hezzy getting to the layup, hezzy getting to the layup, over Bam, around Jimmy, couldn't be stopped.
Yep, those Heat had dead legs, and Rondo was like, I'm good, I missed the first 5 weeks of this bubble. I still got I still got a tank behind me.
Don't forget William Rondo.
Dude, don't forget William Rondo. He is most definitely on my 12 things. That was just a special thing. Another thing on my 12 things that I would have forgotten, the birth of NBA bubble life on Twitter. Do you remember how fun when the bubble just started and we were like, how are we going to get to know the soap opera of it all? We need to know more than just the games. And then NBA bubble life pops up and they are just basically tracking every single player and person in the bubble social media accounts and reposting.
What do you think happens now? Do they shut down the account or they just keep it going as a general NBA media Twitterati?
Yes to the second one. And I think they're also probably absorbed by Bleacher Report or ESPN. Like, they're going to get money based on retweeting NBA basketball players. But it made it much more fun.
They've earned it. They've definitely earned it. Shout out to NBA Bubble Life.
Shout out to NBA Bubble Life. Another shout out, Amir, goes to Michael Porter Jr. for having a coming out party in this NBA bubble.
Yeah, and the whole Denver Nuggets had their coming out party. Remember that series against Utah? That stole our attention for about a week and a half.
Without a doubt. Yeah, Jamal Murray, must-see TV. Mm-hmm. But Michael Porter Jr. was the one where he was almost by... It was supposed to be the Bull Bull bubble. You know, it seemed
That's
like
right.
he was going to be the name. And then Michael Porter Jr., because they brought eight players to the bubble, was like, you need to get 35 minutes. And he was like... Kobe Bryant light, Kevin Durant light. You know, it's just like
draining threes,
draining.
LeBron in his face, draining.
Swag,
great jump shot.
Yeah, MPJ. Do you want to hear a few more, or I just got this list right in front of me?
Rattle it.
Rashawn Holmes orders Postmates based on Kelly Oubre's tweet, and then has to re-quarantine for another 10 days.
Totally forgot about that.
That's true. Kelly Oubre tweeted that if you order Postmates, you should have to meet the delivery person at the gate. Security won't touch it, and then you could bring it back to your room. That was false.
Got him.
Got him
with that fake info.
Pump fake. Drew the foul. Drew the foul. Rashawn Holmes. 8 to 10 games he had to sit out, or 8 to 10 days, rather. And then on that note, Danwell House, a married man. A married man with kids. told his family to stay back at home so he could focus on the games, and then brought one of the COVID testing nurses back to his room for a number of hours, publicly got outed, got booted from the bubble, and had to return to his family in shame.
Oopsie daisy on Danwell House during the Lakers series. That didn't help Houston. That didn't help them at all.
Yeah, they were already a pretty banged up team. And then my final one, Amir, Philly and Milwaukee with the absolute disappearing act.
Interesting.
Were you surprised? I mean, Milwaukee more than Philly, even, because Philly lost Ben Simmons. But Milwaukee just quietly got put down. It felt like it wasn't even that
in
big
five.
Of news. Yeah.
No, in quietly. Five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the end, it was expected.
They, like the Lakers, struggled in the first eight games, only they weren't able to turn it on. It's another Giannis in the playoff thing. We haven't seen it from him like we do in the regular season. He might be like the Lamar Jackson type, where it's like, if I'm playing against the Bengals, if I'm playing against the Hornets, I'm putting up 40 and 20, and my numbers are absurd. If you can game plan against me for a week, maybe I'm a little more limited.
Right. I think it was just surprising because they were so dominant in the regular season to just see them lose it all. And people say that it's from losing the crowd. People say that home court advantage, or, you know, just like riding the wave. But there was something weird there, boy. You just don't lose 4-1 if you're that good. Something, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just that one really caught me by surprise.
But I thought they'd go through like a Clipper thing of like some post bubble rumors, maybe a coach firing. But no, like Giannis is in Greece right now. Do you see like a picture of him with like George Hill just living the life?
Yes.
Coach Bud still has his job.
Yes.
It's like nothing is wrong. Right. All right.
So the expectation is that they come back angrier, or like, to me, it's like they're exactly the same. They're
going
to be
exactly
the same.
They were supposed to be, this year was supposed to be their redemption tour. They're like, Kawhi's gone now. It's our East. Let's get there and just dominate. And they were title favorites. They were Vegas favorites to win going into the playoffs, I think.
And then Miami just suffocated them. It was just so bizarre. And then Philly, I mean, Philly had, I'd say, equally high expectations, and they sucked. Old school.
It's funny what happens when Jimmy leaves your team. You don't get better. You never get better.
No, you learn lessons in that period. That is a period of learning.
Yeah, Chicago traded him. Minnesota didn't want him. Philly didn't want him. All right, he'll go to the finals with Miami.
I will say that because of Jimmy Butler, I think any quote-unquote hard-nosed player is now going to be assumed to want to play in Miami. I think that he has made the Heat culture that much more public to NBA players.
Right. Rondo would be a great addition too. Like, he's the kind of player that would be great in Miami. I don't know if he wants to leave LA, but that's the kind of guy that they need.
And two other players who might in 2 years, Giannis and Kawhi.
Oh, that'd be sexy.
Defensive minded.
Miami Heat, Vice jersey. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Although they're getting better just naturally. They're young and they're all under pretty efficient contracts. Like, Bam is 22. Tyler Hero is 20. Jimmy Butler is Jimmy Butler. And they got good pieces.
Yeah, Duncan Robinson, fresh out of the G League, 24, 25 years old.
That guy was like he seemed to need somebody in his jersey to hit threes. When he was wide open, it didn't go in. And then like when the closeout was there and like LeBron was in front of him, he's like, all right, now I'm going to elevate and shoot.
Yeah.
I need somebody 3 inches from me in order to like calibrate better. It's insane to see.
And it wasn't a fluke. That's the weirdest thing. It was not a fluke at all. He can shoot
like 48%. Yeah. Right. It is like Klay Thompson light over there.
Right. I don't mean to diminish like his skills, but like, why can't everyone else do what he does then? Like,
you guys are all professional basketball players. Shouldn't you all be able to shoot threes with not even 50% accuracy? You don't even have to make half of them.
Just make a little under half. I never understood how bowlers don't always roll 300s. There's no defense. There's no weather. Just master it. Just master the thing. Just figure it out.
Throw.
Right.
You should be able to hit. An old man can hit like 300 free throws in a row. It should be the same thing.
Figure it out, Dwight. Figure it out.
It's weird how Whiteside didn't last in Miami. He's such a hardworking, hard-nosed basketball player. Yeah.
That
weird,
is that, true.
The Hassan Whiteside era didn't last forever.
That really
revealed
itself.
Why did they
ever
give him a contract? That was weird.
Really revealed itself quickly as to like why that didn't work out. Last thought, I do have some on my list as well. Your team, the Los Angeles Lakers, after winning the NBA championship and probably having a couple drinks and feeling good, left Quinn Cook at the arena.
That was our bad. We should have made sure everyone was on the bus. But, you know, Quinn didn't really play. Do you remember Dwight Howard making a 30-footer as time was expiring in the game, by the way? Were you still watching?
Yes.
Yeah, so that was his Quinn Cook moment. Quinn Cook didn't even make a three. I guess you didn't score. We don't remember you. How far can the resort be from the arena, though? It seems like it's all... You can walk and meet us there, it feels like.
What a prick, Amir. What a real prick you are.
Sorry, Quinn. This is your second championship in, like, four seasons. You can walk back to the...
When you see Quinn Cook, you are a player on the Lakers, and he walks in the doors. Do you apologize? Do you laugh it off? Well, how do you play that moment?
I think because they won, it's fun. Yeah.
Okay.
If they had lost and he left him at the arena, that's not a good moment. That's like that's a dick move.
No doubt. And now if you are Quinn Cook, let's put the shoe on the other foot. If you're Quinn Cook, how do you reemerge into the Lakers celebration? Do you use this as an opportunity to be like, I'm pissed. Why'd you guys forget about me? Or do you have...
No. I think you do the Roy Williams sort of like joyfully walking back into the locker room.
Yep.
Champagne shower. We're back, baby.
Yes.
Yeah.
GIF this.
You know, I should say that we made some... I actually only made one bet on the series, and it was KCP blocks over, which was a long shot that didn't hit. No. But the ones we discussed did pretty well. I think I said Bron outscoring AD above 28.5. That happened. Yeah. AD below 28.5. That happened. We called that right. LeBron
Jimmy
for Butler's. MVP. Jimmy Butler threes. Did he end up making more than half?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Yeah, he was only hitting threes, right?
Yeah, he had to make like 0.5 a game. And multiple games he had too, which already kind of like tilts the scales. We also said that Jimmy over 20.5 points seemed inevitable.
Oh,
and
yeah,
that was more than
money. Inevitable.
Yeah.
Although he had 12 in his last game. It's not going to get it done.
Yeah. What about Bam? Bam's was 15.5. I wonder if he hit the over. Seems like he might not have, actually. He had 25 and 10 yesterday, but otherwise I think he was averaging closer to 12 or 8.
Yeah. In his first three games, he had 8, 15, and 13.
Yeah.
Did not get there. Sorry, Bam.
Sorry, Bam. There's always
you
next
said
year.
That you were like, Bam didn't look so good yesterday, and then he ended up with 25 and 10. Was that mostly in garbage time, maybe?
I guess so. I was surprised to hear that. To me, why I said that Bam looked bad yesterday was just that anytime a hero cut and then bounce pass into the lane, it seemed like it always bounced off his hands. If like a weird rebound, it seemed like he couldn't corral it. Everything felt very wobbly.
Hurt. Yeah, he was probably hurt. He had like a broken or torn something in his shoulder or wrist or neck.
Yeah. He never dunked with authority. Anytime he had a dunk, he kind of placed the ball in the rim as opposed to ripping the rim, you know, which is a very different feeling on the shoulder.
He really is like AD light, like a young AD, huge Kentucky center power forward who's injury prone. Hopefully he finds himself his own LeBron James. Here's another insane stat from the box score yesterday that we can maybe end on. Andre Iguodala, you know, the guy that they brought in and extended so that they can get championship pedigree and performance and guidance from.
The guy who held out in Memphis not to play 1 minute because he was too good for the team that eventually almost made the playoffs, right?
That's right. Andre Iguodala played 10 minutes, missed two threes.
I remember them.
And was minus 20 in those 10 minutes. That's a tough quarter of basketball if you're Andre Iguodala. You played 10 minutes in a deciding game and the team was outscored by 20 in
every minute.
10 minutes.
Every minute you lost 2 points. Every minute you lost him. So
Thank God he didn't play 40 minutes. They would have lost by 80.
Everybody wants to be the Michael Jordan who hits the game-winning shot and then retires on top. If you are Andre Iguodala, do you say we're running it back? Or you're like, this is my last game. Minus 20 in 10 minutes.
He has two more seasons left on his contract. The second one is a team option. But his contract expired this year and they extended him next year. They're paying him $16 million, I think.
Yeah.
And then the year after that is a team option where I'm wondering if they'll say no thank you to that.
His defense was great. My man needs to get a haircut out of the bubble. He had a minus 20 haircut.
The Heat must have had a pact because like Jimmy made it work, but he had like some pretty insane hair by the end. And Solomon Hill was just like,
beautiful.
What is that guy doing? That
beautiful.
Guy needs a, yeah.
Meanwhile, Tyler Hero has the tightest fade in all of the league.
Yeah.
His 20-year-old rookie.
Every day. Yeah.
Airtight zeros.
He's earned it. Hero, Hero emerged. He was another bubble story. Good on him.
Good on him. So we now have 3 months off, Amir.
What are we
thinking? Your best guess? I'm sure neither one of us has the answer, but do you think that a Buckets pops up every so often in the offseason?
I think so. I think we got some history to talk about. We also have some draft things coming up, free agencies in December. So maybe one every 3 to 4 weeks as we check in, see what's going on in the league. Yeah, maybe a coach gets fired or hired. My long shot Clipper prediction. This is unsubstantiated. But instead of just bringing Ty Lue up or Mike Woodson, no, Mike Brown they were talking to, they... Bummer throws like a shit ton of cash at a current NBA coach. Like he tells Greg Popovich, I'll give you $100 million to coach the Clippers for 3 years or something like that.
You maybe as a Lakers
Kawhi
fan.
Realized, yeah, maybe Kawhi realized I need an elite coach. And
is Doc
Tyler's
Rivers not
going to cut it?
Is Doc Rivers not?
I guess not.
So if you're a Lakers fan who hates the Clippers, Amir, what coach do you not want them to get?
I mean, I would love for them to get a Ty Lue, Mike Brown. Like, that doesn't strike fear in me. I guess I don't want them to get, like, a smart, young, analytical guy or, like, a Greg Popovich, like, guy who always overperforms. And I'm afraid they're going to throw a lot of cash at a coach like that.
One of the sad results, and I know we're trying to wrap it up, so maybe this will be it, but one of the sad results of the Clippers kind of blowing this year was that this was really their window to strike some fear in Lakers' hearts. For them to really capitalize and be like, next year, it's not there now. It is further. It's further than when it started. You know, we saw the season play out, and it's like there is no coach that would make me be like, if I'm a Lakers fan, shit, they're getting closer. They had their shot this year, and they were a dud. And the Lakers just straight up said, we are the team to beat, and that's
this
the fact.
Worst case scenario for the Clippers, like
without a doubt,
they're gonna be worse. And the Lakers were like, oh wow. We sort of farted out 7 bad seasons, landed LeBron, made a trade like you did for PG, and it worked out, and we won a championship. And we're still in the same building next year.
That's right. And meanwhile, the Clippers fans resent PG-13. So there's really no sort of silver lining here. There's just a lining, and it's a sad lining.
Yeah, and even if they play well in the regular season, they're like, we know what will happen in the playoffs.
Right.
Like, no Clipper fan will enter the playoffs with confidence, even if they're up 3-1 in a series, which should be, like, the most confident you can be. They'll be like, no, we're going to lose, we're going to lose. And so that's like that pessimism that just doesn't go away in one season.
Yeah. Well, the Lakers are LA's team. It's been proven for many, many decades now as Amir holds up the Lakers towel. The Clippers had a good little run. The Clippers had a good little run.
They had a great 6 months. They had last July through November. That was their beautiful. That was their time to shine.
Yeah.
You know, they've been a franchise for 50 years, haven't made a conference finals series.
I did know that, and it's
0-50.
It's sad. That's tough. That's, you guys
that's like
have
the
won
the down Knicks years, but always
forever.
Yeah,
we only know this. Yeah, you guys that's have won 17 championships, 11 in Los Angeles, correct?
11 since the 80s. I think we might have won some in LA in the 60s. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, congratulations, Amir. You are a
Thank
champion.
You. Thank you. And thanks for not being a Laker hater like some of our friends who were just rooting against our team. You did a good job of keeping it. You were non-biased. You weren't necessarily rooting for anything but more basketball or a good series. So I appreciate it. And thank you for that.
Fan and a friend. That's how it goes.
All right. Where can people listen to you more?
I say it at the end of every Buckets episode. Check out the No Joke podcast. It's the other one that I host. And thanks for listening, dudes. It's been 1 year, one calendar year of basketball now in the books.
That's right. Lakers were in China a year ago today.
Right. And now we're
Yikes.
All locked in our homes.
Not unlike they were in China.
That's right. Bookends.
All right, sweet. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back soon enough, I'm sure.
See
Go
ya.
Lakers!
Rolling down Imperial Highway, the big nasty lady to my side. Santa Ana winds blowing hot from the north. We were born to ride.
That was a HeadGum Original.